Hey, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and this is a podcast I have been wanting to do for several months, actually, and finally getting the chance to do it. I would have done it a long time ago, but I didn't have any place to put it, really. Blind Cool Tech, which is where my other podcasts are, the folks that run that are kind of busy doing other things, which is fine. It's certainly understandable, and they're just not really posting things anymore. I didn't have any place to put it, but with Rick, hopefully, with the Blind Geek Zone now, hopefully this will be a place where you'll find all my newest podcasts. Certainly my other ones, if you want to go check them out on Blind Cool Tech, they're still there, but all my future ones will probably be on Blind Geek Zone. You can check out my other Android podcasts on Blind Cool Tech, but it may not be worth it because so much has changed in Android, as you're going to see in this podcast, that those podcasts are pretty much obsolete. That's how far accessibility in Android has really come in the last year or so. This might be kind of a long one, so I'm going to grab something to drink and a snack and sit back and enjoy. I've been looking forward to doing this, and thanks to those who have sent me emails saying, you know, we want more Android podcasts. We enjoy those, and we want, you know, a podcast on the new accessibility. Well, you're going to get just that now, and I hope you enjoy it. So what I'm going to be covering on this podcast is the newest Android. It's Android 4.2, which is Jelly Bean. 4.1 was also called Jelly Bean, actually. And there's a few minor enhancements in 4.2, but if you get a device running Android 4.1 or 4.2, you'll be just fine. Most of this will apply. So before we get started, let's take a little trip down memory lane and just see, you know, how accessibility in Android has evolved. And each version of Android has had a dessert name, so this might actually make you hungry in the process. So the first couple of versions of Android that were released a few years back didn't really have accessibility. There was the first version, which I don't think that had an official name to it other than 1.0. So we had 1.5, which was called Cupcake. And then the first accessibility support came in Android 1.6, which was called Donut. And between that and then we had 2.0/2.1, which was Eclair, 2.2, which is frozen yogurt, and 2.3, which was gingerbread. The accessibility framework really didn't change much. In those versions, it was usable, but there were a lot of restrictions. You had to have a phone that really had a physical navigation control, and the touchscreen wasn't accessible. And then in 2.3, they had the Eyes Free keyboard that you could install to allow you to type on a touchscreen, and it had a virtual kind of navigation control, but that didn't work in all places. So it was doable, but it wasn't a foolproof solution by any stretch. So then we had Android 3.0, which was Honeycomb, and that was only for tablets. And then the real interesting stuff started to happen with Android 4.0, Ice Cream Sandwich. And what this was, you had touchscreen accessibility, but you had to feel around on the screen and find something using what they called Explore by Touch. And then once you found what you wanted, you just lifted your finger and you tapped on that item. And it was usable. I used it for a while, and it worked. But it was sometimes difficult to navigate some things, especially with complicated screens, to find the right item. So it was usable, and it was definitely a big step in the right direction. Well, when 4.1 Jelly Bean came out, Android, the accessibility really kind of completed the circle as far as what was really needed. Because now we have gestures to navigate the screen, and that's really the big thing. We can read by item, we can read by character, by word, by paragraph, and all of the other kind of loopholes in Android accessibility have been fixed, as you'll see here. Sliders. If you look at my other Android podcasts, I was using 2.3, I think, in most of those. The sliders didn't speak, like for the brightness and that type of thing. That's all been fixed. Web views now work. So when you get applications that use HTML views, that all reads. The default web browser, as well as Google Chrome on Android, is accessible. And my favorite browser is Firefox. As I'm going to show you in this podcast, Firefox on Android is awesome. It is just so cool. It's fast, and they've done a great job with that. Mobile accessibility is still around. In fact, I just released a new version. But honestly, the only thing that you'll gain from it is if you really need advanced Braille display support. Other than that, I really can't think of a reason why you would need that now, because everything else that it provides you is easily accessible with the TalkBack, which is Android's built-in screen reader. So Braille support is also coming along on Android natively. There's a service called BrailleBack, and in the newest beta, grade 2 Braille is supported. So that's a good thing. So that's coming along pretty nicely. So what I will do in this podcast is show you how to navigate in Android 4.1/4.2. Again, most things are the same, and I'll point out the differences. And we'll start with the very basics, and we'll work our way up. And then I'll show you a couple of applications that come with the newest version of Android. We'll look at the Play Store, the settings, of course, because there's definitely some things I want to show you in there. And we'll see what else we get to. Certainly, this will be probably the first of several new Android podcasts that I do. But I want to give you enough in this one, so if you get a device, an Android device, whether it's a phone or a tablet that are out now, you're able to use it independently. That's my main goal in this podcast. So another new thing is with a device running Jelly Bean, that's a 4.1 or 4.2, you can enable the accessibility out of the box on the setup screen. So what you would do, and my phone is already set up, so I can't really show you this, but it's pretty simple. Just if you follow what I'm giving you here. Once your device is booted up and you're on the setup screen, just give it 30 seconds to a minute or so. What you'll want to do is put two fingers on the screen and hold them for about 5 or 6 seconds. Now, the best way to do this probably is to put your device on a table or something in front of you and take your index finger on both hands and put them on the screen, not touching each other. So spread them out just a little bit. And make sure that only those two fingers are touching the screen. And in about 5 or 6 seconds, you should hear the speech tell you to continue holding your fingers to enable accessibility. And if you do so, in another couple of seconds, it should enable TalkBack and the Explore by Touch option. Once that's done, it will take you through a tutorial, which is three different lessons. That show you how to navigate. And I'd recommend go ahead and take the tutorial. Go ahead and go through it. I'm going to show you most of what it covers here, but it's beneficial to do that. And once that's done, then it will take you through the setup process of setting up your device. Now, there is a security feature in Android with regard to speaking passwords that may give you some trouble. Out of the box, when you get to the screen to type in your Wi-Fi password and sign into your Google account, it may not speak those unless you plug in a headset, and that can be easily changed in settings. So my suggestion to you to avoid any complication with that is go ahead and go through the setup screen, but once you get to the screen where it's asking you for the Wi-Fi, go ahead and choose to skip that during the initial setup, and also tell it no, you don't want to sign into the Google account at this point. Skip that also and just go through the setup and get yourself to the home screen, because there's some other settings in accessibility that you'll want to probably enable before you really get started with this. And you can easily, of course, connect to your Wi-Fi network and get signed into your Google account in the settings screen once this is done. So That having been said, what I'll do here is unlock my device. Now, what I'm using here for this podcast is the HTC Desire Z. Now, if any of you have listened to my other Android podcasts that were on Blind Cool Tech, if you haven't, that's all right. But if you did, you might remember, I think it was the last one, I used that same phone to demonstrate how to get around some of HTC's modifications to Android. Well, it's the same phone, but what I've been able to do, and you can do this with a lot of different phones. I'm not going to go into too much detail about it here because there's enough information to cover an entire podcast and probably a long podcast about this. But suffice it to say that with most of the phones, you can install a totally different ROM on the phone, a totally different Android version that will allow you to update the phone past what the manufacturer has done. And that's what I've done here. HTC never updated this phone past 2.3. But I've been able to get the newest version installed. There is a ROM that's been developed for it, which is Android 4.2. And I've had some requests for a podcast on how to install, you know, other ROMs on phones. I've been a little leery to do that because each phone is a little bit different, so I wouldn't be able to tell you step by step how to do it. I'd only be able to give you some general hints and some general concepts. Plus, there is a slight chance that you may end up breaking your phone if you do it wrong. But if a lot of you are really interested in a podcast on doing that, on installing other ROMs on Android devices, let me know, and I'll see what I can do. My email address is, and I'll give this at the end too, it's my ham radio call sign, n0oxy@charter.net. So if a lot of you are interested in that, let me know, and I'll see what I can do about doing that. So I've installed Android 4.2 on this phone, and I'm at my home screen. My screen is off at the moment. So what I'm going to do is press my power button to unlock it. I'm using Ivona for my speech, which you won't have that out of the box, but you can easily get that from the Google Play Store once you're signed in. The Google text-to-speech that comes with the device, it's decent. I actually like the British English voice better than the United States English one with that. But anyway, so let's press the power button to unlock here.
Edge phone 3 bars.
Yeah. Okay.
Home screen 4.
So there's 5 home screens on the default home screen. It says home screen 4. Now, one other thing I should mention, actually. I'm going to lock my screen here again for a second.
Screen off. Ringer 100%.
Yeah, it says screen off, and it tells you the ringer volume. Some of the gestures for navigating around in Android Jelly Bean are similar to the iPhone. The basic ones are the same. Swipe left, swipe right, and double tap to click on an item. But there are some differences. So I will try to do what I did with my Mac podcasts. A lot of people, based on the feedback I've got, said they liked that, where, you know, if there are similarities, point them out, and where there are differences, point them out also, and I will do that. Just keep in mind that it's not going to be exactly like iOS. There are several differences, and I'll point them out as we go, but, you know, don't expect this to work just like, you know, the iPhone does, because it doesn't. And if you expect that, you're gonna have frustration. All right, so what we want to do here is first, let's go ahead and go into settings, because I want to show you some accessibility settings that you may want to modify once you have speech up and running. And this will also give us the chance to look at some Jelly Bean gestures along the way. So also, the different devices, you may or may not have like a menu key on the bottom or a home button. On a lot of newer Android devices, you just have icons on the screen for those, which TalkBack will point out. And then you can, when you find them, you just double tap on them to activate them. So that's kind of how that works. So anyway, let's go ahead and unlock this.
Device unlocked. 7:40 p.m. Ringer. 100%.
Okay. So I could this particular phone has a menu key, and I could use that to get to settings, but I'm going to go the long way around in this case, so I can show you some other some gestures. Plus, again, a lot of new phones don't have a menu key. So I'm going to swipe to the left here, and what I want to get to is the one that says apps, which is just a list of all the apps you have on your phone. So let's go ahead and swipe to the left.
Browser. Messaging.
All right.
Apps.
And there's apps. So to open it up, let's just double tap.
Apps.
Okay. Now,
now
this phone does have a QWERTY keyboard on it, but I'm not going to use that for any of this. Now, if you have a phone that has a QWERTY keyboard, I don't think any of them have keyboards that come with Jelly Bean out of the box. But again, if you get a phone that has one and you install a different ROM on it, then you can really have the best of both worlds. You got the touchscreen access, you can type on the touchscreen, or you can slide out the keyboard. But for this, I'm not going to use the keyboard or the navigation control or any of that for this, because I want to show you how to do this on a phone that doesn't have that, because most phones now don't have QWERTY keyboards or hardware controls, and they're not needed anyway. Okay, so we're in our list of apps, and
Darwin Reader.
I can swipe to the right here.
DevTools. Downloads. Browser.
Or you can just find something on the screen and do it that way. Now, what I want to get to is settings. So here is where we'll introduce a new gesture. There's actually a couple of ways to do this, but what we need to do is get to the third page of apps. So to do that, what you want to do is take two fingers on the screen, put two fingers on the screen, and slide them to the left. Going to the right will go the other direction, of course. But in this case, we're on the first page of apps. We need to probably get to the third page. So you put two fingers on the screen and slide them right to left.
Ivona Text-to-Speech HQ, apps page 2 of 3.
You notice it says apps page 2 of 3. So that's how you can switch pages. That also works with applications to switch tabs, like in some applications they have tabs on the top. That will also switch you between between those. So let's see if settings is on this screen. I'm going to touch down around the bottom of the screen.
ROM manager.
Okay, let's see.
ROM Slacker Radio.
Slacker Radio, okay, it probably is. So I'm on Slacker Radio. Let's just swipe back to the left.
SiriusXM. Settings.
There's settings. And those of you that are familiar with the iPhone, iOS, of course, will find that very familiar. There's settings. Let's go ahead and open it up. Double tap.
Settings. Showing items 1 to 11 of 26.
Okay. It says showing items 1 to 11 of 26. So if we swipe through this, now here's one difference between, a big difference between the iOS and Android, and it's very important to learn this one or you'll have all kinds of trouble. So pay close attention here on this part. If I was writing this, I'd highlight it. Let's go ahead and swipe to the right through these items because I want to show you a couple of different things. This is a good place to do that. Again, if all this seems overwhelming, just go back and feel free to re-listen to any of this that you might not understand. But let's go ahead and swipe to the right here.
Settings. Wireless and networks. Wi-Fi. OFF checkbox not checked.
So it says OFF, it spells it, but checkbox not checked. That's the Wi-Fi toggle.
Bluetooth. OFF checkbox not checked. Data usage.
Data usage. Now let's stop there a second. What if you wanted to read that character by character or word by word or that type of thing? Okay, well you can now do that. To switch the navigation, as it were, you swipe one finger up and then back down. For you iOS users, this is very similar to what you'd know as the rotor on iOS. So if we swipe one finger up and back down.
Read by paragraph.
It says read by paragraph.
Read by word.
Read by word.
Read by character.
And read by character. Those are the options we currently have in there. So now I'm set to read by character. So we're on data usage. Now what if I swipe to the right?
Capital D, A, D, A, space, U, S, A, G, E.
And that's it. It read the whole that item character by character. So you want to spell anything out now or read anything by word, that's all doable now in Android. That all works very nicely. So let's do another finger swipe up and back down to switch back to the regular navigation again. Default reading level. And let's keep going down this screen here because there's another very important gesture I wanna show you. So let's keep going.
Sound. Wi-Fi.
Let's see.
OFF check. Blue. OFF Data usage.
There's data usage. I touched the top of the screen again, so let's go to the right.
More. Device. Sound. Display. Sound. Display. Storage. Battery.
Okay. Now, you notice it said battery. Now, if I keep swiping to the right,
settings. Wireless.
You notice it went back to the top again. Now, TalkBack also provides you a sound feedback if you have it enabled, and also vibration feedback. I've got those disabled because I find them distracting, but you would have heard a sound there that means you get to the bottom. You got to the bottom of the screen. Okay, here's the part that I was talking about that's really important to know. It's one major difference between how Android does things and how iOS does things. I don't know if one's better than the other. They're just different. With iOS, of course, with VoiceOver, as you swipe to the right, it will continue to navigate through the entire screen. So if you have, you know, like 26 or 30 items, it will just navigate through the whole thing. Well, with Android, when you get to the bottom of a screen, if there's more to view, which there is in this case, it said showing like one of nine, I think, of 26, you have to scroll the screen. And in some ways, this is a little more how a sighted person does it, because if they want to get to something, you know, farther down, they scroll it. So to do that, okay, my screen just went to sleep, and we'll deal with that in a second. But to do that, this is a very important gesture to know. You do a two-finger swipe up to go farther down the screen, or a two-finger swipe down to go back. Now, it kind of seems opposite, but think of it as basically the text on the screen, you're sliding it up to reveal more content below it. That's essentially what you're doing. So, and you can control how much it scrolls. If you only swipe a little bit from the bottom to the top, you'll scroll only a few items. Or if you have like a long list of contacts, you could start kind of at the bottom of the screen and go all the way up the screen, and you'd scroll quite a ways. And it will tell you how far you've scrolled also. But that's a very important gesture to know, the scroll gesture. It's used in places like the Play Store, in settings, certainly in contacts, in any place where there's like a list of items, or any screen that doesn't all fit on the screen. So if you want to see if there's more, basically just do the two finger swipe from bottom to top. So let's turn this back on.
Device unlocked. 7:48 p.m. Ringer 100%.
Okay, so we've read the first screen. So I'm going to do a two finger swipe up. See, now it says showing items 10 to 20 of 26. So now if we swipe to the right.
Apps. Andromedas. Personal. Location access. Security. Language and input. Backup and reset. Accounts. Google. Add account.
Okay, so we have one more screen to go, and that's where we'll find accessibility, which is what I wanted to take you into to show you some things you may want to change. So let's do another two-finger swipe from bottom to top. Let's see. Okay. There we go. All right. So,
accessibility.
There's accessibility. So, to open that, let's double tap.
Accessibility. Showing items 1 to 9 of 12.
Okay. So, showing items 1 to 9 of 12. So, we know we're going to have to scroll again a little bit when we get to the bottom here. But I just want to show you what's in here and tell you some things you may want to change for starters, so you get the best experience here. So, let's go ahead and just swipe to the right.
Navigate up. Accessibility. Services. Talk back on.
Okay, talk back on. If you were to double tap on that, you could toggle that. And in Android 4.2, you can re-enable the speech from any place if it's turned off. That's not in 4.1, but it is in 4.2. In 4.1, you can only enable it without sighted help, at least on the setup screen. But 4.2, they've fixed that. So, talk back on. If you were to go in there too, there's also some settings for talk back. You can control the sound feedback, vibration feedback, that type of thing. And there's some other settings which you can look at. Okay, let's keep going.
System. Magnification gestures off.
Okay, magnification gestures off. That's also a feature in 4.2 that's not in 4.1. You want to magnify the screen? You can, and there are gestures to do that for low vision users.
Large text checkbox not checked.
Large text, that is in both versions. So if you just want to make the text larger, you can do that.
Power button ends call checkbox checked.
Power button ends call, that's nice to have. You can certainly find the end button on the screen or swipe to it and double tap to do it. But if you want a quick and easy way to hang up a call, if you're using a phone rather than a tablet, using the power button to hang up a call is very convenient. Not required, certainly. It's more of a convenience feature, but I have mine enabled.
Auto-rotate screen checkbox unchecked.
Auto-rotate screen. I would definitely uncheck that. Because if you turn the device a certain way, it may switch orientation. It's going to cause you all kind of trouble navigating things. That happens in iOS, too. That feature is just, it's a thorn in the flesh. And the best thing you can do is disable that. For a blind person, it offers no benefit anyway that I know of. So I would say definitely disable that auto-rotate screen. Okay, let's keep going.
Speak passwords, checkbox checked.
Speak passwords. That's the option I was telling you about that... if that's not checked, you'll have to plug in headphones for it to read password boxes. So, again, I would maybe skip entering any password in the initial setup. Come in here and check that option, and then you can go back into Wi-Fi and into add account and do that, and the passwords will speak very nicely without you having to do that. So you definitely want to check speak passwords there. Okay, we need to scroll to see the rest of this.
Navigate up.
So let's do a two-finger swipe from bottom to top. Okay.
Accessibility. Power button. Auto-rotate screen. Speak passwords. Check. Accessibility shortcut on.
Okay. Accessibility shortcut on. That is another 4.2 feature. That's the one I was telling you about. That the way it works, if somebody sighted is going to use your device, you can go into the TalkBack service, just double-tap that, and then uncheck it and turn it off. And... that then will, then a sighted person can use it, and then you can re-enable it without sighted help. And I'll show you that in just a second, but that setting controls whether that's turned on or not. And really, there's no reason to ever turn that off. And if you enable accessibility with the two-finger gesture on the setup screen that I mentioned earlier, that will be enabled for you. So, and I'll show you how that works in just a minute. So let's keep going. Text-to-speech output, that is a shortcut. This is also found in language and input, and that allows you to set what text-to-speech engine is used. There are several others that you can install. I'm using Ivona at the moment, but there's the Google text-to-speech. There's Pico, which is also what was used in Android 2.2 and 2.3. It's not the best quality, but it is what it is. And you can also control the speech rate from that screen, so that's a shortcut to get into that. Touch and hold delay short, that's for a long press on an item. It's kind of like right-clicking an item. You double tap and hold, and that'll give you a context menu for that item, and it controls how long that delay is, I believe.
Enhance web accessibility allow.
Enhance web accessibility allow. You definitely want to enable that if it's not set to allow, because that's what makes the default web browser accessible, Gmail, really, any application that uses a web view, without that enabled, most of those won't speak. So you definitely want to enable that. All right, let me just show you how to, if you're in Android 4.2, how you can re-enable speech if you've turned it off. Now, in 4.1, you would probably need sighted help to do this, but let's do a two-finger swipe from top to bottom this time, because we want to go back to the first set of options on this screen.
Speak passwords, checkbox
okay.
checked.
And TalkBack is going to be up toward the top, so I'm just going to find it. There we go. Let's double tap that.
Settings. Navigate up. TalkBack. On checkbox checked.
So I'm going to uncheck it.
Alert. Stop TalkBack. Touching OK will stop TalkBack. Cancel OK.
All right. So we're just going to swipe to OK.
Stopped. Touching OK. Cancel OK.
All right. I now have no speech. It's turned off. And I could give this to a sighted person, and it would work just like as if the accessibility wasn't on. Well, let's say I've done that, and they've given it back to me. I need to get my speech back. So how do I do that? What we do is you hold the power button for a couple of seconds, and that will bring up the menu saying, what do you want to do? Do you want to shut down, go to airplane mode, that type of thing? So I'm going to do that now. Okay. Now you do the same thing that you did to enable it on the setup screen. So I'm just going to set this on my lap, and I'm going to hold two fingers on the screen.
Keep
Okay.
List showing three. Ringer off.
Okay. So it said, you know, keep holding two fingers, and then I did that, and it enabled the accessibility. Now, I'm still on the shutdown screen where I can toggle the ringer and that type of thing. So I'm going to press the back key to get out of there.
Settings.
Okay. So there we are. So we're back in the settings screen now. So those are the basic gestures for getting around in Android. There are some other ones, but let's summarize these before we go any farther. So swipe left, swipe right moves you to previous and next item or whatever you have your navigation set to. Swiping one finger up and then down will toggle the navigation mode in one direction. You can also swipe down and then up to go the other direction, but that cycles you between item, which is the default, paragraph, word, and character. Okay? Using two fingers to swipe left or right will move you to different pages if it's a tab list, like the applications list, or again, that also works in some other applications also that have tabs. And then another very important gesture to know is the two-finger swipe up.
Ringer 100%.
Yeah, my screen just went to sleep. Okay. So swiping up or down will move the screen in lists and other places where not everything fits on the screen, like in contacts or in the settings like we just were doing. And again, that's all covered in the tutorial that it will give you when you first enable accessibility also. But so those are the basic gestures you need to know to get started. There are some other ones that are provided, and for things like opening the notifications to simulate a back button if your device doesn't have that built in. But again, there's also a software button on the bottom for that. But so let's go. Let me show you how some of the basic apps work in Android using the touchscreen now, such as the phone and messaging. Those are probably the two, you know, critical ones as far as using it as a phone goes. So let's press the power button and unlock
device
this.
Unlocked.
Okay.
7:57 p.m. Ringer.
And I'm still in settings. I'm going to back out of that with the back key again.
Accessibility.
Just keep hitting back.
Settings.
Okay.
Phone.
All right. So let's go to the phone app. That is, of course, where your call log is and where you can dial numbers, and we'll go ahead and dial the weather. So I have that on this home screen. There's five tabs, basically, on this home screen. But let's just swipe to the left here.
Home screen 4. Browser. Messaging. Apps.
There's the phone app. Let's go ahead and double tap it.
Phone.
Okay, here's another difference between Android 4.1 and 4.2. In 4.1, you will need to find the item, the number, whatever you want, on the dial pad and double tap to actually dial that particular digit. In 4.2, that's done kind of basically via the touch type method. So you just find the one you want, lift your finger, and it dials that digit. Now, items like the dial key or the backspace, you do have to double tap still to activate those. So the weather number here is 3212222. So let's find the dial pad here, and I'll go ahead and dial that.
6. Edit box 3.
Okay, there's the 3. Let's let go of it. And,
two.
Oops, I dialed a 5 there because I bumped that. Let me go up.
Edit box.
There's
35.
Yeah, I want to swipe to the backspace.
Backspace.
And double tap that.
5 deleted.
And it says 5 deleted, so let's do 2.
2.
And release it. Okay, then 1.
1. 1. 5. 2.
Yeah, I keep hitting the edge of the 5 there.
Edit box. 300. Backspace.
Let's delete that.
5 deleted.
Okay. So what I've got here so far...
Edit box, 321.
Yeah, I just touched the box. Okay, 321, so...
2, 2.
There's 2.
2, 2, 2, 2. Edit box, 3212222.
There we go, 3212222. Okay, now, dial is right below the pound on the bottom right, so you can just kind of feel on the bottom right there.
Pound. Dial.
And there's dial. So let's double tap it. And it's dialing the number. Now, you have several items on this screen also. You have end, dial pad. If you check that, then you can actually send touch tones. Audio, that's speakerphone, which I will do now. Okay, so there's that. So to end this call, I'll just press the power button here to hang up there. And we could have found the end button on the screen too and just double tapped it. And then what it will do is take you to the, I believe, the... Okay, we're back on the dial pads. But there are some tabs at the top. You have... I'm just swiping. I found the tabs at the top, and then you swipe to the left. You got phone. That's where we are now.
Call log.
Call log.
Favorites.
And favorites. So let's just go to call log.
Call log.
Double tap that. Okay. So we can then swipe to the right.
Favorites. Search. 3, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 1 minute ago.
And that's the call log there, and it lists it.
And
it gives you the choice to call the number, and it just lists each one there, and you can have it show you only the missed calls or outgoing calls. Now, if you want to clear your call log, we would press menu, or again, if your device doesn't have a menu key, just it might say more options. That's also the equivalent of menu. We just double tap that, but this phone has a menu key, so I'll press that, and we go down to let's see. Well, if I can find the menu key here. Well, let's see.
48926.
Let's see.
Call 3, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2.
It's not letting me do that for some. There we go. I was in the wrong place. Okay. So now we got six items here, and we have.
Show all calls. Show missed only.
I'm just swiping to the right.
Show outgoing only. Show incoming. Clear call log.
Okay. So I want to clear the call log out. So let's just double tap that.
Alert, clear call log. All your call records will be deleted.
That's fine.
Clear all your cats. Okay button. Alert, clearing call log. Phone.
And there we go. Call log is empty. And that's that. So as you can see, the phone app works just fine on a touchscreen. No more hardware keyboard or anything like that needed. No navigation control needed other than the touchscreen gestures that are provided. So let's back out of here with the back key. All right. What about text messaging and typing and things like that? Okay. Let's open up text messaging.
Home screen. Browser. Messaging.
Or messaging, as it's called.
Messaging.
All right. The built-in Android keyboard in 4.1 and 4.2 is fully accessible. There's no need anymore to install any kind of eyes-free keyboard or anything like that. It just works out of the box. And it uses the touch type method, at least the stock Android does. Now, I have heard, if you have a phone like the Galaxy S3 from Samsung, I have heard that with that keyboard, you do have to swipe and then actually double-tap to insert each letter. Samsung, I guess, has modified that or included their own keyboard. But the stock Android keyboard, it uses what you know on iOS as the touch type method. And for those of you that use Flexi on iOS, you'll be happy to know that that is coming to Android, and it might not even be out even by the time you hear this. It's in beta now. But here's the real advantage. My screen just went to sleep again. But here's the real advantage for what Flexi will have on Android that iOS will not. Android allows you to develop and install other keyboards. So what this comes down to is, of course, on iOS, you have to open the application and then you type what you want, and you can choose to either send a text message or email or copy the text. But that's pretty much it. With Android, you'll be able to use Flexi any place you can type. So if you go into like the Google Maps navigation, you need to type there, type in a destination, you can. If you're using like a Twitter app or something like that, or Facebook or something like that, basically any place where you need to type on Android, you'll be able to use Flexi without restriction. That's one of many ways where Android's far more flexible than iOS is. So that's definitely something to look forward to. But for now, we'll just work with the built-in on-screen keyboard here, which works quite well. Now, having said that, even though it's fully accessible, since this phone has a QWERTY keyboard, admittedly, I still usually use that to type because it's still faster than a touchscreen keyboard. But again, I'm not going to use that here because most phones don't have that, and I want to show you how the on-screen one works. So let's unlock this, and let's go ahead and swipe to the right here. It says no conversations. I don't have anything in here. New message. Let's go ahead and double tap that.
Messaging.
Okay. So now we have a new message.
Navigate up. New message. Attach. Edit box.
Two. I'm not actually going to send a message here. So I'm going to skip that field. Of course, that's where you would double tap, and that's where you could enter the phone number or whoever you wanted to send that to. But let's just go down to the message content.
List showing zero items. Edit box.
Type message. So if we double tap that,
edit box, type message.
Okay, and the on-screen keyboard has appeared. I'll just type, this is a test.
T-T-J-H-G-G.
Whoops, typed a G there. I didn't want to do that. Let's backspace that.
L, delete. G deleted.
There we go. Okay.
G.
Okay.
I. F. S. S. C. Space. This.
Okay, and it says each word as you type it, so you can turn that off if you don't want it. There is a setting in TalkBack. Whoops.
Delete. O deleted.
Okay. There we go.
Space. Space is.
This is a.
A. V. Space. A. D. D. R. E. W. E. E. D. A. S. S. G. D. D.
Okay. There we go. So this is a test, and we can read that if we swipe to the right.
Send disabled.
And send, there's send. That's disabled because I didn't enter a recipient. But if we swipe back to the left, then
edit box. This is a test.
All right, so that's that. Now, of course, so that as you can see, the on-screen keyboard works very nicely. There is a setting you may want to enable. Again, it's under settings, language and input. That makes it do a sound each time a character is inserted. Sometimes that can be helpful to know that, to make sure that it has been inserted the way you want. So so I'm going to go ahead and discard this at this point because I don't actually want to send this to anybody. So I'm going to press menu.
Showing four item. Add subject. Insert slot. Discard. Send. Discard. Messaging.
Okay. And we discarded that, and we're back at the main messaging window. Okay. Well, what if we don't want to type? What about dictation? Well, Android... actually, this was introduced a while back, but it's been improved. And in Android 4.1/4.2, the speech recognition is really good. And the cool thing is, you don't have to have a data connection for it to work. The recognition is actually done on your device. So I'll go ahead and show you that. Let's go ahead and do another new message here.
Messaging. No conversation. New message.
Double tap on new message. And let's get down to the
new message. Attach. Edit box.
Text box.
Edit box. Type message. Edit box.
Okay.
Type message.
Now, there on the bottom row, there is an option for voice input. And if you touch that and then release it, it will... let you dictate something. Now, sometimes what can happen here is that as it's recognizing, it reads the text and it can literally try to recognize its own speech. So my suggestion to you is when you're doing this, if you can, cover your speaker up because you'll get you'll be able to avoid that problem. So I'm going to find the mic input. And
voice input.
There we go. Okay, so I'm going to release that, and then I'm going to cover the speaker, and we'll do a little text here, and we'll see how it does. This is a demonstration of speech recognition, period. Well, we'll see how it did.
Send to edit box. This is a demonstration of.
Oh, it's still recognizing it.
Of.
And this phone, the processor is a little bit slower. This phone actually came out in 2010, so if you get a device, it'll be a little faster.
Send disabled. Edit box. This is a demonstration of shape.
Well. Of she, it mispronounced. It didn't get the last part of it, but it got the first part certainly. And usually, I think it was hearing some of its own speech there. But usually, it is pretty accurate. So you can do that also. And there's a lot of other stuff you can do with voice search and things like that, which I'll show you. But anyway, the speech recognition is good, and it does come in handy. Like I say, usually it's quite accurate. All right, let's discard this message. Okay, so that's text messaging. As you can see, the on-screen keyboard works well. And what I could have done too is turned the volume down a little more, I guess, to do the dictation. That would have probably solved that problem, but you get the idea. All right, let's go ahead and back out of text messaging here. And what I want to show you now is doing a little more with the speech recognition. Google Voice Search. This is kind of Google's answer to Siri. Although there are a lot of differences, but what it does is basically you can ask it questions, and it will either answer it directly if it can, or it will just do a web search for whatever you ask. So what I'm going to do first, because that will require a data connection, let me go into settings and turn on my Wi-Fi. And then I will also show you, once we do that, I'll show you how to read your status bar, so you know your battery level and things like that in Android Jelly Bean. So I'm just going to press the menu key here. I'm back on my home screen.
Showing three items. Showing items 1 to 3 of 3.
Let's go ahead and swipe to the right.
Wallpaper. Edit. System settings.
System settings. That's setting. That's where we were before, originally.
Showing items 1 to 11 of 26.
And I just want to go check the Wi-Fi checkbox. Oops, touched too far down.
OFF checkbox not checked.
There we go. Double tap that to check it.
Unchecked.
There we go. And we'll give it a second to connect. And the way you read your status bar is by you just kind of feel the top of the screen. It's kind of like the iPhone there, where it that's where your battery level and your carrier and all that stuff is located. Now, TalkBack reads it to you kind of all at once, kind of like how the screen reader is in Symbian, if you ever use that on the Nokia phones, did it. Now, in 4.2, you can't do this in 4.1, but in 4.2, there is a way to read them individually, and I will go ahead and show you that. Okay, let's back out of settings.
Home.
All right, so if we just touch the top of the screen here.
Wi-Fi signal full. Edge phone signal full. Battery 43%. 816.
All right, I think I'm going to have to charge this phone here pretty soon. That's the status bar. So if we want to open notifications, this is also, if you have a text message, that's where you'd see that also, or missed calls or anything like that. So there's two ways to open the notifications. You can do a two-finger swipe down. Normally, for a sighted person, it's one-finger swipe down, but since that's used for navigation, when accessibility is enabled, you use two fingers. The way I do it, TalkBack actually has a gesture to open notifications for you. You do a one-finger, you swipe right, and then down, kind of like an L shape. And out of the other gestures, that's probably the most important one to know. So I'm going to do that now. So we're going to swipe right and down.
8:17 Thursday, January 3rd, quick settings, T.
Okay. And it reads the whole thing. We can just swipe to the right. Now, okay, so then it reads these one at a time. So,
notification shade, 8:17, quick settings.
Okay, and we'll come back to that in a second.
Wi-Fi signal full, edge phone signal full.
Okay, so quick settings gives us a couple of different things. And again, you won't have this in 4.1, but it's in 4.2. It allows you to quickly get to places where you'd want to toggle the most common things like Wi-Fi and things like that. But it also allows you to read those items individually if you want to do that. So let's go to quick settings here.
Nope. 8:17. Quick settings.
And we'll double tap that. Okay. Now if we go to the right.
8:18. There's notifications. User owner. Brightness.
Brightness. That will take you to the display where you can change that.
Settings. Wi-Fi signal full. Mac world.
Wi-Fi signal full. Mac world. That's the name of my Wi-Fi network, because I have all Macs here for my computers, of course, so I just figured Macworld would be a good name for my Wi-Fi network.
Mobile phone signal full. No data. T-Mobile.
It says mobile signal full, no data, because I have my data connection turned off for the cell network. Let's save battery that way when you're not using it.
Battery 43%.
And there's the battery level. That will also tell you if it's charging or if it's fully charged.
Airplane mode off.
Okay, so that's how you can read in 4.2. If you go to quick settings, you can read those items individually if that's important to you. I don't know if one's better than the other. There's been some debate on the eyes free list. You know, the iPhone lets you read them, you know, by themselves straight away, whereas if you just touch the top, talk back, you know, read you all the whole status at once. I think, again, it's just different. It doesn't really matter to me either way, as long as I can get the information. And it's very easy to do, actually, on both platforms. So, all right, let's press back and get out of notifications. If you had a text message or something like that in here, of course, you could simply double tap that and it would open the appropriate application that generated the notification, so you could deal with it accordingly. So, all right, let's press back to get out of here. Okay, where I want to go now, actually, let me do one more thing. I want to enable, I keep this off too, and I'm not using it to save the battery, but I want to enable location stuff because I want to show you a couple things with voice search. So let's go back into settings one more time. All right. Yeah, let's scroll that up just to scroll it down just a little. Just swiping to the left here. Location access. That's what I want. Swipe to the right. Okay, double tap to check that. Yeah, okay.
Disagree button.
Double tap on agree. Okay. Now we can back out of settings. Okay, so let's go into voice search. I think I have an icon for that on my home screen here. If not, we can certainly get to it in apps. One difference between the way Google does things and the way Apple's Siri does things, Google's is more just question-answer. That is, you ask it something and it does the search or it answers the question. It's not as conversational the way Siri is. Now, if you want that, if you want the conversational aspect of it, there are plenty of apps in the Google Play Store that will give you that. Genie and Eva are the two that kind of come to mind there. Genie's a really good app. I like that one. So if you want that, it's certainly readily available, but you'll have to install another app to get the conversation aspect of it. Okay, so let's swipe to the left here.
Home screen, browser, message, home screen, browser, message, apps, people, phone, voice search.
There's voice search. Okay, so the first thing I'll do is just ask it. I already know this. The Rams lost in their last football game. But I'll just ask it that, what happened in the Rams game, and it should be able to answer that directly. So let's see.
Google.
What happened in the St. Louis Rams game?
Lost to the Seahawks 20-13.
Yeah. So again, it actually does a voice on Google's server. If it can answer the question directly, it will do that, and that's what it gives you. And if we swipe to the right here, well, maybe. I guess there's nothing there at the moment. Now, the other thing, and I'll do a search for a restaurant here in a second, but the other thing that this has in 4.1 and 4.2 is called Google Now. Now, this is a very interesting thing. There we go. Tap to speak, yeah, okay. So, anyway, Google Now, what that is...
NFL regular season Rams 13 Seahawks 20 final, December 30th, 2012, 3:25 p.m.
Okay.
Go to Google Home, link.
Okay. All right, then.
Double tap to select. Double tap and hold to long press. Host.
Okay, so... what Google Now does then, if you enable it, now you can choose whether or not to do this, it learns your patterns over time and will give you what are called cards for different things. So let's say you have this enabled and you go to work every day and it learns that over time. Well, you might get up one morning and you might have a card in here that says, there's a traffic jam on your way to work. So if you want to get there on time, you're going to have to leave now, basically. Or... you know, it learns your patterns. Like if I was to ask it, if I had that enabled and I was to ask it, about the Rams each week, it would just learn that. And then within a couple of weeks, it would just automatically put up the scores without me even having to ask it. So it's really neat. And they keep adding different cards and you can disable this. Some people would say, well, that's kind of Big Brother-ish. I don't want it tracking all that stuff. And that's fine. You don't have to use this. You can disable it. And you can also, tell it exactly what cards you want it to show you, as it's called. So, the way you do that, if you go into the menu here, let's see. Is there a menu on this app? Yeah, there is. Okay. Let's see what we have.
Search with camera. Settings. Help. Send feedback.
Okay. Search with camera is like Google Goggles. I did show you that in a previous... Android podcast,
search
where it'll try to recognize images. Now, if we go to settings, let's see.
Settings. Navigate up. Settings. Google Now off.
Yeah, I have Google Now turned off on this.
Voice. Phone search.
Privacy
and accounts on phones. Voice. Google Now off.
But if I enable it, let's see. Okay, I'll just swipe through this so you can hear what it says.
Information when you need it, without searching. Next button.
Let's go ahead and just hit next here.
Next button. Before leaving for work. For example, 55 minutes to work. Heavy traffic on 101. Next button. When leaving for vacation. For example, GXA flight 303. Status delayed. Tuesday,
yeah.
April 10th, 2012.
Yeah, so what it will do, like if it if you have like in your calendar that you're going on a vacation on a certain day and you've booked your flights and it has that information, it'll automatically check it for you and tell you, like, hey, your flight's delayed. It's just kind of interesting stuff.
Depart Los Angeles. LAX, 8:55 p.m. Terminal B, gate 119. Arrive Frankfurt. FRA. 4:40 p.m. WED. April 11th. Next button.
Okay.
Get Google Now. Google Now is always working for you. It needs to use and store your location periodically for traffic alerts, directions, and more. Use your...
okay.
Learn more button. No, maybe later. Button. Yes, I'm in.
Yeah, so you can enable or disable that. I'll back out of that for now, but that's kind of how it works. It's really cool what it can do.
When leaving for vacation.
So just back out of that. Okay, so that's kind of how the voice search. Now let's do another search.
Navigate up. Settings. Google Now off.
And let's see if it can find some places here. Okay, so if I go back in here.
Browser. Apps. Phone. Voice search.
Okay, let's see.
Google.
Where are the nearest pizza places? Now, it's not going to be able to answer that directly, so it will do a Google search, and we should get some results here.
Pizza places. Google search.
There we go. All right. So.
Capital A. Pi Pizzeria, 6144 Delmar Boulevard, St. Louis.
There we go. So it definitely.
Capital B. Onsto, 5401 Finkman Street, St. Louis. Capital C. Portels Pizza, 7932 McKenzie Road.
That's a good place. Now, I think if I double tap on one of these, let's see.
Capital C. Portels Pizza, done 7.
Let's see what it'll do.
Double tap to select.
And that's a web view, by the way. So that would not have been accessible in Android 2.3.
Maps.
So it, what it did, it opened it up in Google Maps. And I could get directions. There we go. So it pulled
Fortell's
it up.
Fortell's Pizza Den at Fortell's makes delicious pizzas. www.fortellsfatsatin.com/with-one-of-a-kind.
Yeah.
My location.
Okay. So it pulled it up in Google Maps, and we could get directions and, you know, all kind of stuff there. So as you can see, you know, the Google search, the voice search works really nicely and fully accessible there. So let's go ahead and back out of there. All righty then.
Google. Boom.
Okay. So that's that. All right. There's a lot of other things that that I can show you here on Android 4.2, but as you can see, the accessibility has just really, really come full circle. It's awesome. Okay. Let's go ahead and look at the Google Play Store. That's important. That's where you get your apps, and of course now they have movies and TV shows and all kinds of different things. So let me show you how that works, and maybe we'll do a search for an app and see what we get there. So let's go ahead and open that up. I don't think I have an icon for that on this home screen, so let's just open the apps list. Swipe to the left here.
Messaging. Apps.
All right.
Apps.
Now, again, we'll have to use, it's on the second page, I believe, of apps. So remember, if you remember the gestures I mentioned before, we do a two-finger swipe to the left to go to the next page of apps.
Ivona Text Speech HQ, apps page 2 of 3.
Okay, and Play Store should be on this screen. Let's just
people.
Feel it. There it is, people. So we should be able to just swipe to the right.
Phone. Play Music. Play Store.
There we are. Play Store. Let's double tap and open it up. Okay. Now, to update apps, I don't know if I have any updates even. Let's see.
Buy. Games.
Got
Buy.
The different categories
Buy.
At the top.
Recommended for you.
So I'm just going to press the menu key. And again, if you don't have a menu key directly, it'll say like more options or something similar to that.
Showing 6 items. Showing items. My apps.
My apps is what you want to go to. And what this does...
Store.
Is it lists any updates.
Showing items 1 to 7 of 30.
And it also lists any apps that you've purchased or have installed. You can remove certain ones if you don't want to see them anymore. But here's where you would also go if you were installing apps like on a new device or if you've reset your device. So let's go to the right.
Navigate up. My apps. Search Google. Install. All. Updates. Update 4 button.
I got 4 updates. Now, if I was to tap that... You notice it said button there, update 4. If I did that, it would just update all of them automatically. But I don't want to do that in this case because I want to see what we got and maybe see what's new in some of these. So let's see what we got for updates.
Firefox beta by Mozilla, update. Slacker radio by Slacker. Sound search for Google Play. Up to date, 24. Sound search for Slacker radio by ROM manager by Clockwork Mod, update.
Okay, ROM manager, that allows you to install it. Let's take a look at the Firefox beta, maybe. There's two different versions of Firefox in the store. There's Firefox, which is the actual current version, and then if you want to kind of preview the version after that that's going to be coming out, you can do the beta. And I tend to do that. I found that the betas are quite stable. But there is an update for that, it looks like, so let's double tap on that one in particular.
Firefox beta by Mozilla.
Okay. So now we can swipe through here and let's see what it says.
Navigate up. Apps. Search Google Play.
Okay, that's the search. We'll come back to that.
Share. Image 2. Firefox Beta. Mozilla. Uninstall button. Update button.
And then we'll do the update in just a minute.
29,663 reviews with average rating of 4.2. 1,000,000 plus downloads. Updated on Jan 3, 2013. Download size 19.66 megabytes. Checkbox not checked. Allow automatic updating. Rate this review. What's new?
Okay, so that's the last thing on the screen there. So again, if we want to actually see what's new, we need to scroll this a little bit. So again, you remember the gesture? You do two fingers on the screen and start from the bottom and swipe up just a bit. Okay. I've seen a lot of people. Here's where it really confuses them, because they're like, what's new? And they can't get to that. And it's like, that's how you do it. You got to scroll the screen a little bit to see that. So now if we swipe.
Apps. Search. Image 2. Fire. Mozilla. Update. New faster JavaScript. New faster JavaScript compiler. Ion Monkey. Safe browsing enabled. CSS3 Flexbox implemented. Stability improvements. Learn more. http://www.mozilla.org/nus/mobile.
Okay, so there's the description. I don't know if that'll be on the screen or if we'll have to scroll it up again.
Let's refine and polish the newest features almost ready for prime time. With Firefox Beta, you get to test the latest performance, customization, and security enhancements before they make it to our next version. Have an impact by helping to put the finishing touches on features and functionality. We need your help testing ARM 6. If you have an ARM 6 device,
okay. So I don't know if the update is still on this screen or not.
Image 2.
Let's go ahead and do a two-finger swipe from top to bottom this time to go back to the first screen there. And the there's the update button. Okay, let's double tap that. Okay, now this next screen is kind of interesting. I want to show you this. And those of you that are familiar with Android, of course, will be familiar with this. But this screen tells you the permissions that an application wants to access. And this is, and I'll talk more about this toward the end of the podcast, but this is one thing I really like about Android over iOS, is you know exactly what permissions an application wants to access. With iOS, it'll ask you for location and things like that. But other than that, it's pretty much, you know, Apple's philosophy is, well, trust us, we've checked it, and it's all good. Well, I want to know more. I want a little more control over my device. Thank you very much. So, if we swipe to the right here.
Navigate up. Apps. Firefox. Mozilla. N0aux. Permissions radio button checked. Storage modify or delete the contents of your SD card. Bookmarks and history. Read your web bookmarks and history. System tools install shortcuts. Uninstall shortcuts. Accept and download button.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead and do the accept and download here. And there we go. And it does not take you out of the... actually, I don't think iOS does this now either, but it doesn't take you out of the Play Store back to the home screen. It just downloads, installs, and it puts a notification
updating
up there.
Firefox Beta.
It says updating Firefox Beta, and when it's done, it will say that it's done. Again, it's a notification, so...
Successfully.
All right, and there we go. That's done. Now, it has a notification up there now for that. Now, if you want to clear that out of there, you can do it a couple of ways. If you actually double-tap the notification, once the notification thing is open, it will open that app. I don't want to do that, so I'm going to clear this out of here. So I'm going to open notifications, again, with a swipe right and down.
Clear all quick settings.
I'm just going to do clear all notifications and clear that out of there.
Play Store.
Okay, there we go. And now we're back on the Play Store again. So that's how you update apps. Installing them is very similar. You just do a search, which we'll do here in just a second. And then you find the app you want. You choose install if it's a free app. Or if it's a paid app, you tap on the price. It's a button. You double tap that. And then if you already have a credit card or however you pay, and then you just choose that, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's fully accessible. So let's do a search.
Navigate up. Google Play.
Search Google Play. Let's double tap that.
Search query.
All right. Well, how about, let's see. Oh, I don't know. How about ESPN? Sports radio. Let's do that. So we'll just type ESPN and see what we get.
E-R-R.
Oops, wrong letter there. Let's back that up.
L-O-K-L-M. Delete. Are deleted.
Here we go. Okay, let's try that.
E-D-X-S.
S.
O-L-P. P.
P.
N.
Okay. Now, to end the search or the typing and actually submit it, there's usually a go or a search button down on the very bottom right of the on-screen keyboard.
Delete search.
There you go. So just find that and lift your finger. And that's a drop-down list. You can choose to search for apps or games or TV shows. It's already on apps, which is what we want. So let's go ahead and just swipe through this and see what we get.
ESPN Radio by ESPN Incorporated. Free. ESPN Bracket Bound 2012 by ESPN Incorporated. Free. ESPN Fantasy Baseball 2012 by ESPN Incorporated. Free. Navigate up.
Okay. I think that's...
ESPN College Football by ESPN Incorporated. Free.
So let's say we wanted to install one of these. I'm probably not going to do this, but let's say that ESPN Radio one. That sounded kind of interesting. Let's go back and take a look at that. So.
ESPN Fantasy Football 2000, ESPN College Football by ESPN Fantasy Football, Watch ESPN by ESPN and Score Center for Android, ESPN College Football by ESPN Fantasy, Watch ESPN, Score Center for Android, drop down list.
Okay, I think I may have scrolled this accidentally, let me go back down. Okay.
Score Center for Android, Watch ESPN by ESPN, drop down list, Watch ESPN by ESPN. Score Center for Android by Watch ESPN, ESPN Fantasy Foot, ESPN, ESPN Radio by
there's
ESPN.
That's what I was looking for. Okay.
Free.
Okay, ESPN Radio. So I had to go a little bit further down the screen. So let's double tap that.
Search query.
Okay.
Navigate up. Apps. Search Google. Share. Image 0. ESPN
okay.
Radio.
Now, if we want the description, I'm sure that's going to be on the next screen. So let's just do a two-finger swipe from bottom to top. And
it works, it's great. Asus Nexus 7.
Okay, that's the feedback.
One star.
I'm going to go back to the left.
100, 2 star, 1. Install button. 3.1. 1,803. ESPN Radio. ESPN install button. 3.1.
Okay, maybe it is on the first screen. Let's see. I'm trying to get to the description here.
689. Take your sports wherever your ears go.
There we go.
Introducing the new and improved ESPN Radio app for your Android, with a host of expanded features and functionality for sports fans. Listen live to ESPN Radio, your favorite podcasts, live play-by-play and more. Middle.listen live to internet broadcasts of over 35 ESPN radio stations around the country. Middle.listen to your favorite ESPN shows like Mike and Mike in the Morning, The Herd with Colin Cowherd, The Scott Van Pelt Show, The Michael Kay Show, and many more. Middle.listen to play-by-play
okay.
from some...
Sometimes it's quicker just to kind of feel around on the screen and find an item than to swipe, and that's what I did there to find the description. So I don't really want to install that, so I'm just going to back out of it.
Apps drop-down list.
Okay. So that's the Play Store. As you can see, totally accessible with the touchscreen. Not a problem. No problem whatsoever. All right. So let's go ahead and get out of here. And let's take a look at Firefox. This is really, really awesome. Okay. And we'll try this new version. So, I just opened my apps list. Now I'm just swiping to the right.
Firefox Beta.
Let's open that up.
Firefox Beta.
Okay. So.
Firefox support.
What we want to do here is find. Okay, it's asking me first. Do I want to send usage statistics and that type of thing to make it better? And
no,
I will go ahead and do that. So we'll
Firefox beta.
Okay. So the search or the place where you enter an address is up toward the top.
One tab.
It says one tab.
Enter search or address.
Okay, there we go. Enter search or address. So if I double tap that.
Edit history. Edit box. About home.
About home. Okay, that's where I want to go. Okay, now I think that text is still in the box.
Go. Delete. You deleted.
Yeah, it is. Okay. So there's
delete.
No easy way
deleted.
That I know of.
Go.
Let me look at something here.
Go. Edit box. About home. About home. About home.
Yeah.
Firefox start about home. No. Yes. Firefox start about home.
Yeah, so there's
about home.
There's no easy way that I know of to clear this text out of here. Unless there's something on this keyboard.
Go.
Let me see.
Delete. V space slash symbol shift. C.
Yeah, see there really isn't. So
delete. Go. Delete.
We're just gonna have to delete this out. I'm surprised there actually isn't a way to clear out like the text all at once. But there doesn't appear to be a way to do that. So, well, we've almost got this deleted, so. If anybody knows how to do that on Android, I'd love to know. Okay, that should do it. So, all right, so there we go. What site should we go to? How about CNN? How about CNN.com? How about that? Why don't we do that? Okay, so let's just, on the on-screen keyboard, we'll do...
C...
N
B N N
and there should be a period here without me having to switch to symbols. Let's see.
C space.
Let's see.
Space.
Thought I saw a period
slash.
On this
symbols.
Screen.
Space.
Maybe not.
Period.
There we
space.
Go. Okay, so CNN, period. And then we do C. The on-screen keyboard on this particular phone is not the most responsive. You can tell it is an older phone a bit. I'm sure if you get a new device, it'll be much more responsive for you. But it's still worth it. It was still worth installing this ROM. Okay. So let's see. This is taking its own sweet time, and I'm not sure why. Okay. So let me see what I've got in here now. Okay, so...
M. Period. Go. Delete. Go. Delete. M. Deleted.
Yeah, okay. So somehow I got an M in there.
CNN. Double tap to enter text.
Okay, so I just have CNN in there, I believe, now. Okay, so now we do
space.
A period.
Period. Period. X. C.
C.
C. I.
O.
O. O.
M. I can see, like I say, this.
G.
No, I don't want that. See that. I'm not sure why in this browser. No, it is a beta, but this keyboard is being very sluggish, and I don't know why. May have to ask Mozilla about that. Okay.
M.
Well, let's see.
M. Pip go. Delete. N deleted. V. N. N. M.
There we go. All right. So,
CNN.com/newsroom.
There we are. So let's go ahead and
CNN.com student news. CNN.com world news.
Well, it go. Gives us some suggestions, but for now,
go.
I'm just going to do
CNN.com.
All right, let's double tap on go and let it do its thing.
Firefox beta.
Yeah, that
loading.
Keyboard was
CNN.
Pretty sluggish.
Let me
see, this phone.
CNN.com. Google search loaded.
Well, it did a Google search. Let's see.
Okay,
so now what Firefox has done here is you can swipe left and right through the items and double tap to open them. Element navigation is coming also. It's not out yet, but it is coming where you'll be able to navigate by heading and by link. You can do that now if you have a QWERTY keyboard, but you'll be able to do it on the touchscreen coming up in the next couple of versions. But for now, you know, it works very well. I'm not sure why that keyboard was so sluggish. Like I say, it could be part of it is because this phone is actually from 2010. That's when it came out, and it was never officially updated past 2.3. So I've updated it to 4.2 with a third-party ROM. But overall, it was still well worth it. Just that keyboard was a little sluggish. I'm sure yours will work a lot better. But anyway. Here we are. Let's go ahead and swipe to the right here and see what else we've got.
Entry CNN.com. Button. Table about 322 million.
List yeah, that did a Google search. Okay, so
CNN.
There we go. So that's what we want. So if we double tap it. Now this should take us to the CNN page. I might have had a bit of a typo on that thing, which is why I did a Google search. But
All right.
It's... still working on loading this CNN page.
Loading. Loading.
Usually.
Linksies.
There we go.
Loading. Loading. 204. About blank loaded.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
About blank loaded.
Huh.
Loading.
Well, maybe this beta is still has some other issues with it.
Link grab. Link feature. Link graphic.
Okay.
Heading level 5 on live TV now.
There we go. Okay, we got it. Here we are.
Top to select.
All right. I'm not sure what part of the page we're on here. We can scroll it with a two-finger, but let's just go to the right. Let's just go to the right here.
Here's Morgan tonight.
See what we got here.
Unpredictable, lively, challenging, fun. Home of the Piers Morgan interview. Link. Heading level 5 featured TV. Link. Graphic. Link graphic. Anderson Cooper's tweets recap 2012. Biggest AC 360 stories. Graphic.
Okay.
Link graphic.
You know, some of these links aren't labeled, which is.
Newtown student.
Oh boy.
Graphic. Link graphic.
Okay, I guess that's the one.
Double tap to select.
So if we double tap on that link, which I just did, it should load that page as well. Let's see if it does.
How you can attend CNN show. Dr. Oz. Graphic.
Okay.
Link graphic.
Anyway, so that's
2013.
That's a bit of how Firefox works. A lot of these links aren't even labeled, so it's hard to know what's what here. But it works very nice. I use that. I like it better than the default browser. It's a little bit faster, and it works really well. I usually don't use my phone to actually surf the web, to actually open a page. More often than not, I'll use the browser like when an application is open from another place. But you can certainly, open a page as we just did. And like I say, I think your keyboard will probably be a lot more responsive. Let's go ahead and exit Firefox then. I just wanted to show you kind of how that works, and it does work. I want to show you one more application that I got the other day from the Play Store. It's a free app. So I'm going to press menu.
Forward disabled. Reload.
And let's go ahead and choose.
Fine. Request tools. Settings. Quit.
Let's do quit there. Take us out of Firefox.
Apps.
All right, there we go. Okay. Some of you may have heard of this application. I just want to show you, how the apps from the Play Store also work, that you can use other apps besides just what's in, what's built in. Yelp is an application. It's it'll tell you what places are close to you. There's also one called Around Me that's very good. But Yelp will give you places and reviews and that type of stuff, and it works really nicely. So let's go ahead and open that up. We're back on the apps page. That's going to be on the third page, of course, because it's alphabetical. So I'm going to do a two-finger swipe to the left a couple of times. There we go.
Go Read.
Okay. Go Read is the Bookshare app, and I'll show you that on another podcast. Like I said, I just wanted to kind of get you started here.
YouTube.
Okay. YouTube, that's also very accessible. Okay. So I think I have Yelp on this phone. Let's see if I do. Yep, there it is. Let's go ahead and open it up. Double tap.
Yelp.
Okay. And let's go ahead and swipe here to the right.
Welcome to Yelp for Android. Got an account on Yelp.com?
I don't, actually.
Yes. Login button. No button.
Nope. So let's double tap on no.
Yelp.
Okay. So now... I'm just swiping to the right.
Or sign up later button.
Let's do sign up later. I don't really want to do that. So we'll double tap on that.
Yelp.
All right. So here we are at the main Yelp screen.
Recents button. Deals button. Welcome to Yelp. See search. Welcome to Yelp. See hot new businesses in your area. Search for Tacos, Max's, etc.
And that's the search. We could do a search there.
Nearby button. About me button.
Okay, let's just do nearby. Let's just go ahead and double tap that.
Nearby button. Nearby.
All right.
Showing items 1 to 10 of 13.
So it says showing items 1 to 10 of 13. Okay.
Navigate up. Nearby. Restaurants not checked.
Now these are the different categories. You got restaurants.
Bars not checked.
Bars. Let's just do all. I think there's an all option in here.
Coffee and tea not checked. Gas and service stations not checked. Drug stores not checked. Everything not checked.
Yeah, let's do everything. Just to double tap that.
Yelp.
All right, and let's see what we got.
Navigate up. Everything. Filter. 1. Mom's Deli rated 3.5 stars, 55 reviews, 4,400. 2. Okay. Salon Element rated 4.5 stars, 9 reviews, 7,001 lands down. 3. Lindenwood Drug rated 3 stars, 4. Pint Size Bakery and Coffee. Map.
Okay. All right, so that's the first four. Let's see if we want to go to the next ones. We'll do a two-finger swipe from bottom to top.
Showing items 7 to 11 of 25.
Okay, so let's see what
seven,
else we've got here.
6, TFA rated 4.5, 7, Ted Drew's frozen custard rated 4.
Oh, yeah, some of the best frozen custard around. So let's say we wanted to get more information about that.
Ice cream and frozen yogurt, $1 sign, 4 miles.
So if we double tap that.
Ted Drew's frozen custard. Navigate up. Ted Drew's frozen custard.
This will make you hungry. Frozen custard. Man, that's good too. Oh, man. I get like their milkshakes with peanut butter cups in them. Mmm, yum.
Bookmark.
Okay.
Ted Drew's frozen custard.
So I'm just swiping to the right.
Image 34.
And let's say we wanted to spell that. Again, we'll go back to the other talkback gesture just for fun.
Ted Drew's frozen custard.
Do your finger swipe up and down.
Read by paragraph. Read by word. Read by character.
Okay, and then...
Capital T, E, D, space, capital T, R, E, W, E, S.
And there you go. So again, you know, spelling something is not a problem now with the newest Android. Okay, so let's
default reading level.
Go back to reading default reading level.
34, 340 reviews. Ice cream and frozen yogurt. Price, $1. Distance, 0.39 hours today. 11 o'clock a.m., transit.
Okay.
Chippewa Brother Avenue. Active button. Add photo button.
Now.
Check-in button.
You can...
Draft review button.
Check in there.
Bookmark checkbox, map.
Okay. And if we do map,
67. Find directions.
What, and then, you, well, actually, map will show it on Google Maps. If we do find directions, what that will then do is it will open up the Google Navigation, which is also part of Google Maps, and it will then give us the directions. So that works out really well, too. So very accessible and very nice little app to have, Yelp. It's good, especially if you're traveling, to find out what places you're close to, and very accessible. All right, so let's back out of there. Well, I hope that that is enough to get you started. Let's summarize these gestures one more time, and then I'll. There is some closing comments I wanna make here, but let's summarize these for you, and then I wanna give you some phone recommendations and some things like that. Okay, so left and right. Left goes to the previous item. Right's the next item. Double tap. Clicks on your current item, doing a two-finger swipe left or right moves to the next or previous page in a page tab like apps and things like that. And then the other very important gesture to know is swiping two fingers up or down will scroll your screen in a list for different things. And then to open your notifications, it's one finger to the right and down. To do that. And there, again, there are other gestures, and the tutorial will kind of show you a couple other ones. But those are the basic ones to get around in Android. So, you know, I this should forever put to rest. And I think it's already been done. But that Android, you know, isn't a viable option for the blind. That with the accessibility now, I mean... That thought should be forever done away with, gone forever, because it's there's no basis for it anymore at all. So as far as phone recommendations, you definitely want to get one that has 4.1 or is upgradable to 4.1 immediately. I would not settle for anything else. If there's a phone that say, well, it might be updated, no, don't even mess with that. So here's my phone recommendations. If you're using a GSM carrier in the United States, that's T-Mobile or AT&T or even Straight Talk, which is it uses AT&T or T-Mobile's network, but it gives you it's a prepaid service. If you're using one of those, by all means, no question, hands down, get the Nexus 4. That is the phone you can get from the Google Play Store. And it's an unlocked GSM phone, and it's only $350, I think, for a 16 gig one. And you really can't beat that price for an unlocked phone. That's a great price. So for a GSM phone, that's by far what I would get. Now there are some others. The Samsung Galaxy S3 is it's a very high end phone, and it may not come with Jelly Bean out of the box, but the update is available, I believe. Now, Samsung has done some modifications to that, but I don't think it's really caused a lot of problems for accessibility, according to what everybody's seeing on the Eyes free list. It's very usable, so that shouldn't be a problem. The Galaxy Note 2 is an option. That one is kind of a cross between a phone and a tablet. So that, I think, comes with 4.1 out of the box. So you should be good to go there. HTC has some phones. I don't know what modifications they've done to their newest ones, so I don't know how that's going to do with accessibility. However, you can install alternative ROMs on those, certainly. HTC makes that very easy. There's the One X, the HTC One S, I think. That just came out with the Jelly Bean update. One thing to note there, AT&T has the One X, but I believe that that one, they don't let you install alternative ROMs if that's something you'd want to do. They don't allow that. And Verizon doesn't allow that on the Galaxy S3, on their version of that, which really, that's one reason among many to stay away from carrier phones. I avoid them like the plague. Now, with CDMA carriers like Sprint and Verizon, you can't do that. You can only use the phones they offer you. But I'm not a fan of carrier phones. I like the unlocked GSM ones. So those are some phone recommendations to get you started. Okay. Well, I know some people are probably, I'm a little hesitant to do this, but I know some people want the compare and the contrast and things like that. Since, you know, Android and iOS are the two top platforms. Oh, a couple other things. If you want a tablet, maybe you've already got, you know, a phone you're happy with, but you want to play with Android without changing phones at this point, get the Nexus 7, or if you want a bigger screen, the Nexus 10. You can get those also from the Google Play Store. And those devices, the Nexus 4, the Nexus 7, the Nexus 10, will be the first to get Android updates. So that's another advantage to those. But, you know, the Nexus 7 especially is a very nice tablet. Like I say, I'm a little leery to do this, but some people want the compare and the contrast. I mean, Android and iOS are the two top platforms, and they're both accessible now and very usable, which is a great thing. And Microsoft, shame on you for not including accessibility in Windows Phone 8. You know, a bunch of blind people talked with them when Windows Phone 7 was out, and Microsoft basically said, you know, yeah, we know we messed up on this, but we are going to fix it, and you know, we are going to work that out. And Windows Phone 8, you know, came out recently, and there is no screen reader whatsoever. And shame on Microsoft for that. There's no excuse for that, none whatsoever. But anyway, we have great access now to the top two mobile phone platforms. I would say that you can definitely accomplish all the same tasks now. There's no task really on that you can do on iOS that you can't do on Android. You can do all of them using a touchscreen device. They both have, you know, similar navigation as far as the basic gestures go. Of course, on Android, again, you have to scroll the screen to move to the next screen. There's a couple of things that at this point the Android accessibility does not have that the iPhone has, and I'll tell you what they are. You can't label unlabeled buttons on Android yet. Now, having said that, though, really, while it would be a nice feature, really, that should not be our responsibility to do that. That's the responsibility of the developer. And the best way to deal with that issue is not to just label a button in the screen reader. The best way to deal with that is contact the developer, let them know. A lot of times, developers simply don't know that they're you know, application is being used by a blind person. And more often than not, what we find is that developers are more than willing to make their application more accessible. Now, some aren't, of course, and you know, that there's where the ability to label you know, things manually might come in handy. Although certainly I would say contact them, give them a chance to fix the issue, give them some time, and maybe let them know more than once. But if they still refuse or they don't respond, then I think it's reasonable to go ahead and put a bad review in the App Store and say, you know, that it's not accessible with a screen reader, and then hopefully find an alternative app that does the same thing. A lot of cases there is one. So that's one thing that it doesn't have. The other thing it doesn't have at this point is the ability to navigate by heading, by link, that type of thing. But again, that's coming in Firefox. I don't know when it's going to be out, probably in the next month or two. You will be able to do that in Firefox using the touchscreen. So that is coming. As far as the advantages and disadvantages, I'll tell you some of the reasons why I prefer Android over iOS at this point, since they're both really accessible. Now, again, what's important to one person may not be for another. So you certainly have to use what works for you. So this part coming up here, while the differences that I'm telling you about are definitely factual, it's my opinion that I think they're more of an advantage with Android. And, you know, this may not matter to you, some of these, and that's okay. That's all right. But the main reasons I prefer Android over iOS mainly come down to flexibility. A lot of these advantages come down to that. First off, hardware-wise, every other phone and tablet, really, that I know of, aside from the Apple ones, use a standard USB connector, the micro USB, which is very, you know, it's very common. And Apple, you know, they use the 30-pin connector, then they move to this Lightning connector, and it's like, if they were going to switch connectors, why didn't they just use micro USB like everything else? There's no reason not to do that. None. So that's one reason. Standard ports. Secondly, voices. With iOS, using VoiceOver, you are limited to the voices that Apple provides. And if you don't like those, well, guess what? You're out of luck. With Android, you can install other voices. Ivona is available. That's what I've been using here. You have the Google Text-to-Speech. There's Pico. Acapella has their voices available now in the Google Play Store. And they're like $2 or $3 a voice, I think. And on Android, when you install a voice, it can be used as your system voice, which means it's used for your screen reader and any other application that wants to speak. With iOS, many applications, like the Bookshare app, for instance, on iOS, they have to include their own text-to-speech engine. They do. They use Acapella because Apple does not allow third-party developers to use the built-in voices. And that's why I think the Read2Go app is like 50 or 100 megs in size or something like that. But on Android, the Bookshare app is only 2 or 3 megs in size because on Android, they don't have to include a text-to-speech engine. Any developer is free to use it on Android. And that's also why the Bookshare app on Android is free, but it's a paid app on iOS. Keyboards is another one, and that's kind of gets back to what I was talking about earlier with Flexi. You cannot use that as your main keyboard in iOS and be able to use it any place you can type. Once that's released, you will be able to do that on Android. Any place you can type, you can use it. When it comes to the abilities to browse your device, that's a big one for me. If you want to copy content to an iOS device, you have to either use like Dropbox or sync it with iTunes or something like that. And that's just unnecessary work. With Android, you connect it to your computer and you just copy it over, whether it's MP3s, music, whatever it is. Just copy it over from your computer. There's no hassle to it. Ringtones is another one. There's a folder on an Android device called Ringtones. Take your files, copy them in there, you're good to go. It's no need to convert it to a certain format and sync it. That's just unnecessary work. And it doesn't need to be that complicated. And on Android, it's not. Regarding applications, I can't speak for anyone else, but of course, on iOS, unless you jailbreak it, you can only install applications that Apple approves. Well, I've got a serious problem with somebody else deciding what I can and can't put on my device. You know, if Apple doesn't like an application for whatever reason, to say, well, we don't like it, so therefore you can't have it. Excuse me? I've purchased this device, and it's my right to install on it what I want. And with Android, there's really not as much of an approval process. Certainly the Google Play Store scans things for malware, but there's not nearly the restrictions that there is on iOS. And even if it's not in the Play Store, sideloading an application on Android is very easy. I'll give you an example. With applications like Audible, and things like that. On Apple, their policy is if you sell anything within your application, which of course Audible does, they sell the audio. If you sell anything within your application, you have to go through our in-app purchase process so we can get 30% of the cut. If you choose not to do that, you cannot put in your application any link or any way for the person to get to your store to buy your stuff, you know, outside of it. that's just way too controlling. On Android, of course, that's not the case, and that's why on the Audible app for Android, there's a button right there that'll take you to the Audible store in your browser. So just the iOS restrictions are just ridiculous in a lot of ways, in my opinion. Another thing on Android is you have the ability to set whatever default application. If you got more than one browser installed, like if you have the default browser and then Firefox installed, it will ask you, which application do you want to use to do this? And you can say then, just do this once, or you can say, make this my default application for this task. So you can set different applications to play, media files or web browser, all that you can set as the default. And there's alternatives to things. Usually Apple does not allow duplicates of what's already on the device. So like if you don't like the default home screen on iOS, guess what? You're out of luck. If you don't like the default email program, guess what? You can't do much about it. With Android, there's several other home screens or launchers you can get. There's several other email programs you can get. So you see, it's just so much more flexible, and it puts control in the hands of the user where it really should be. So those are a lot of the reasons why I much prefer Android over iOS. And the accessibility in the newest versions has just really, really come full circle. It's awesome. Okay, well, I hope this podcast has been enjoyable to everybody. I know a lot of people were looking forward to this, and I hope I've delivered what was expected. There'll be more. I definitely plan on doing more. I definitely want to demonstrate some of the book apps. So the Bookshare app, Google Books, and the Google Magazines are really, really cool. So we'll look at that in another podcast. But this one, I wanted to show you the newest accessibility enhancements in Android and give you enough so you can get a device and get started using it, and hopefully really, really enjoy it. So hopefully I've accomplished that task. So if any of you want to contact me, would love to hear from you. Would love to know what you think. And again, do you guys want me to do a podcast on installing other ROMs and that type of thing? It's going to be complicated and technical, but if you guys are interested, I will try. I'll do my best to do that if everybody's interested. If any of you want to contact me, love to hear from you. Love all the positive feedback that you guys give me about these podcasts. It makes it all worth it, because I enjoy it. I do enjoy doing this and passing on my knowledge, and I'm glad that people are benefiting and enjoying it. So keep the feedback coming for sure. My email address is N is in November, 0OXY. It's my ham radio call sign. N0OXY at charter.net. charter.net. So with that having been said, keep the feedback coming. And now that hopefully I've got a place to post these podcasts, you'll hopefully be hearing a lot more from me than you have been. So everyone take care, and we'll hopefully talk to everybody soon.